The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. Happy anniversary. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I want to say two things by way of preface to this morning's sermon. First, as the theologian Karl Barth once said, when a preacher preaches, he should have, or she should have, the Bible in one hand and the Times in the other. And that is exactly what I'm going to do today, is preach with regard to a front page issue that appeared on the October 13th cover of the Seattle Times. Second, this issue is quite depressing. That said, I don't end on that note. So as we move closer to that note, I expect to hear from the latent Baptists among you a few amens. Third, actually, and finally, there are going to be two questions I want you to ponder as they are asked in this sermon, and I'm going to give you the answers ahead of time. It's your task to determine which question suits the right answer. One of the answers is the gospel, and the other answer is Jesus. Good luck. 1918. The Spanish flu infects an estimated 500 million people worldwide, about one-third of the planet's population. Across the United States, it kills over 600,000 people, one of whom was my great grandmother, a woman who would leave behind a husband and two sons, her youngest, my grandfather. He was 2 years old when she died. Across the Atlantic, World War I would enter its final year, bringing the death toll up to millions more. Electricity, running water, the telephone, the airplane, the automobile. Most of these, recently invented, still would not be available to vast segments of the U.S. population. Women still lacked the basic right to vote, and minorities, African Americans in particular, could not even attend the same schools as whites, much less drink from the same drinking fountains. This world, a world of pestilence and polarity of powers, was the world of the Reverend Jesse Flieger, the founder of this congregation, a man who would serve this congregation for nearly two decades before taking a call to teach at Pacific Lutheran College, now Pacific Lutheran University, in Tacoma. Imagine that world, a world at war, brought to its knees by a kind of plague. And then imagine the world to come. On the good side, a world that would bring with it cures for polio, diphtheria, tetanus, and malaria. A world, or in this case, a country that would double the average life expectancy of its citizens by the end of the century, a world where amenities we now collectively enjoy would do everything from firing up the first computers to lighting up the first game of Major League Baseball played at night between the Reds and the Phillies in 1935. A game, incidentally, the Reds would win, nipping the Phillies 2-1. These were the good things that came with that new world of the 20th century. But there were also the bad, and not just the bad, but the horrific. The death camps of Nazi Germany and the gulags of the Soviet Union, both of which would prove, as the American historian and social critic Arthur Schlesinger once said, that human beings were capable of infinite depravity, far beyond the likes of which those students of human nature, Martin Luther and John Calvin, could have ever, ever imagined. Beyond the camps and the gulags, this new world of the 20th century would bring as well a series of even more devastating wars, a Second World War, culminating in the release of two atomic bombs, killing tens of thousands instantaneously, a Korean War, the war in Vietnam, a Gulf War, all of which, along with World War I and innumerable conflicts across the globe, would cost, listen to this, over 200 million people their lives. Wars that would make the 20th century the bloodiest on record, meriting what the British philosopher Isaiah Berlin accordingly called the most terrible century collectively in Western history. Wow. Now, pause. Consider our world today, 100 years after Pastor Flieger founded this congregation. First, again, the good. With one exception in recent memory, we no longer fear, as we did during the Cold War, the threat of nuclear holocaust. Our skies, in that regard, are a little more friendly. Thank God. Second, since the 1960s and the civil rights movement, women and minorities, at least on paper, enjoy greater freedom and opportunities than they ever have in our nation's history. Thank God. Third, new advances in medicine have helped cancer victims live longer lives, including my own mother, thank God, who 2 years ago this day drove up from California with my father to tell me personally she was terminal and that she had 6 months to live. I tell each of you, I have never cried so hard in my life as an adult. But then, 6 months later, my mom was given a brand new miracle drug that has, at least up until now, put her in what her doctor calls stable remission, turning my tears of grief into tears of great joy. Thank God. This, along with the other examples I mentioned, all point to the good, the really good, in our contemporary world. Now, and I have to take you there, consider the bad. This is hard. According to the University of Washington professor of global health, Christy Ebbe, whose work for the United Nations was recently featured on the front page of the Seattle Times, our planetary situation is dire. Unless emissions come down quickly, she warns, we will find ourselves at the point of no return. At the current rate, warming above pre-industrial levels will likely increase by 2.7 degrees between 2030 and 2050. That is as little as 12 years from now. Cereal crops like rice and wheat, already at the edge of their heat tolerance, will drastically diminish. Millions of people will be displaced, and millions more will potentially die. Even more pressing, as if that were possible, we watch as our democracy ostensibly crumbles before our eyes. Our nation has become a place of violence and vitriol, sharply divided along political lines, one where mass shootings and hate crimes, the most recent of which occurring yesterday at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, the worst crime against the Jews in our nation's history, according to the Anti-Defamation League, have become commonplace. This is the new norm, they say. Our world, it would seem, looks so different than Pastor Flieger's, a world of impending global catastrophes, the likes of which he and his first flock could have never imagined. And yet, if we replace global warming and civil unrest with World War I and the Spanish flu, suddenly our world looks a bit more like his. We both find ourselves in a place of struggle. That said, I believe there's something else that binds us much more profoundly across these last 100 years, an arc that runs from Pastor Flieger's pulpit to mine. Do you know what that something is? One of my mentors calls it the good news for people in bad situations. Amen. What is that? No, Jesus. No, this is that one time where Jesus is the wrong answer. It's the gospel with Jesus Christ at its center. The gospel. Now, I'd like to take you back. We've got a participant. I'd like to take you back once more. Not just 100 years, but 2,000 years. To yet another world. A world where, for a brief moment, love became incarnate in history and dwelled among us in a tradesperson, an itinerant preacher, a penniless teacher, as H.G. Wells calls him, who wandered around Palestine for a mere 1 to 3 years. We don't know much about his earthly life apart from what the Gospels and a few scattered references elsewhere in the New Testament tell us. But what we do know is nothing short of astounding. Do you know who this is now? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the most influential man of Western, if not world, history. The theologian Paul Van Buren describes him beautifully. Listen closely. One of the predominant features of Jesus' personality, he writes, seems to have been his freedom. Jesus was an exceptionally liberated person whose freedom is glimpsed in his authoritative statements, his openness, and his assured self-identity. He manifested a freedom from familial claims, religious obligations, the need of status, and even the forces of nature. In addition, he was a man free from anxiety and the need to establish his own identity. And above all, he was free for his neighbor. He was truly, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call him, a man for others. He preached the freedom of service, and his own life manifested a deep compassion for others, a true openness to all, and a selfless, humble service to others. Jesus, at least as he is presented in the biblical picture of the New Testament, was quite possibly the freest being who ever lived. And there was something of God in that freedom, a freedom that enabled him to let go and to live fully, totally, and completely for others. Dear friends in Christ, this morning in today's gospel, Jesus promises that same freedom to you and me. If you continue in my word, which is to say, his way of being, you are truly, Jesus says, my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to continue to welcome the stranger into this congregation without fear, especially when others won't. Amen. Free so that this congregation, as this congregation has done for years, to continue making and distributing beautiful quilts to those in need, especially when it seems that no one else cares. Amen. Free to continue serving the poor, the immigrant, and the homeless in this community, especially when others vilify and scapegoat them for being lazy, unsafe, or dangerous. Free, yes, to be the love that is so often lacking in our world, including and especially when we are blasted or criticized for exhibiting it. And free to be an example to cynics, to face our fears like global warming head on, and to show our neighbors and friends and children and grandchildren that a light has entered this world, that it still flickers, and that the darkness will not overcome it. Amen. The Son of God has made you free, and you are free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Amen.
1918. Our world is very different from the one in which Pastor Flieger lived 100 years ago. But the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ is the same as the book of Hebrews says, yesterday, today, and forever. May that love claim each of you so that together we can face our challenges as Pastor Flieger faced his, no matter how insurmountable they may seem. And may that love which Jesus promises and gives to us, may that love set you free. Amen.